This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
Before we dive into Hubert Davis here at the top of the Power Hour on a Wednesday, should we tease the fact that we're going to bring an old radio contest over to TV tomorrow?
We when we did the Central and how this whole thing got started on radio, our producers back then, Shane and Sam, who were great from SiriusXM, they're from New York. They knew nothing about golf, neither one of them. And Wes and I, of course, will partake. Wes still plays. We still will check it out. So every major golf championship, we would do a contest where we would have a draft on the air in which you picked two players. You picked A, an ACC player, B, a non-ACC player. Then you combine their scores and whoever won, you know, we would get on Monday and have bragging rights and cut up and all that nonsense. So we haven't done that on television. But given the fact that Drew Brooks, one of the smart people back in Bristol, is an absolute golfer, addict.
He's a golfer.
Addict. Right.
Yeah.
Equipment, clothes.
He and I are whack jobs. We listen, El Sicko, gear, the whole nine.
Right. Yeah. Both of you guys are worried about X7, the ninth power shafts and what kind of spikes you got. I mean, whatever. Come on. Get it. Whatever. Whatever makes you happy. So we are going to bring this back tomorrow morning and have the Packer and Durham draft. And we'll have Josh and Drew partake, and we'll have Meg go through this in terms of the order, because it's really kind of important, the order, because if you have the first up, you get a chance to pick first. So we will do this draft tomorrow. It'll be short, sweet, and then we'll give us something to kind of laugh about and pay attention to over the weekend. But you pick one ACC player, you pick one non-ACC player, and that is your team for the weekend, and you add up the scores, and down the road you go. And if you miss the cut, you're out. It's basically how it works. You got to pick a player, and you miss the cut, you got no chance of winning the green jacket for Packer and Durham. So we'll do that tomorrow morning.
And Drew Brooks has already tried to rig this thing a couple different times, and that
doesn't matter.
An unfortunate demise.
So will not work.
Tomorrow, be on the lookout for that. Plus, a connected guest to the whole proceedings as well.
That's
we
right.
Look forward to that. All right. Hubert Davis is the new basketball coach at North Carolina. There are a lot of things that tie to Hubert Davis being the new basketball coach at North Carolina. His story is a compelling one, not only becoming a player, but then an NBA guy for a long, long time, and then coming back after a brief career with the good folks at ESPN to work on the bench with Roy Williams. And saying, I wanted to be the head coach at one place. I wanted to be the head basketball coach at North Carolina. But as he got into his comments yesterday, it was very apparent that it's going to be very intentional with the basketball program at North Carolina moving forward. There is one strong prerequisite.
You can't do this job unless you're a Carolina guy. It's impossible. You can't coach here, you can't recruit here, you can't work here unless you have been here, you've experienced it, you have lived it. And so in terms of a staff, it's all guys that have experienced this place and believe it and have the passion and the desire that all of us have for this university and this program and these kids and this community. One of the things that I desperately want to do in terms of a staff is I want to connect the generations. I want to have guys on staff that played for Coach Smith. I want to have guys on staff that played for Coach Guthridge. And I want to have guys on staff that played with Coach Williams. I want to be able to connect all those, because I think bringing all those coaches together is what makes Carolina, Carolina. And so in assembling a staff, that is the number one thing that I'm thinking about. You gotta be a Carolina guy. And I want an example from every one of the coaches that have meant so much to me, but has also meant so much to this program.
Well, Mr. Durham, I would say this, and I've said it already today. I thought Hubert's press conference was fine and terrific. And you know, again, I'm not too concerned about who wins or loses a press conference. That doesn't mean anything to me. It's all about W's, and Hubert's going to have to prove that. And I think he's going to have every resource known to man to get it job, get the job done. And he will surround himself with North Carolina folks, and I think that's awesome. But there's a lot of guys that can do this job. Now, again, if you're telling me that, hey, if Mark Few wanted to be the head coach or Brad Stevens or Jay Wright, I mean, Chris Holtman at Ohio State, I mean, there's a lot of guys that would be successful, in my opinion, who have no ties whatsoever to the University of North Carolina. But none of that really is important. It really isn't. I mean, I think it's cool that North Carolina kept it in the family, and that is real, right? Bubba Cunningham talked about that yesterday. You heard Sam Perkins earlier this morning talk about how real it is, that family at North Carolina. And a lot of times you do hear lip service from other schools that we got this, we got that. But I'm telling you, and I'm not part of the family, it is real at North Carolina. But make no mistake, that's all fine and good. But when we roll the ball out in October and November, when everybody slams into the Smith Center and there's 21,000 in there again, God willing, and the Heels are coming through that tunnel, and here comes Hubert Davis and his assistants that all have North Carolina ties, that will all be nice. But the object is to win the games and get North Carolina back to where they want to be, and that is putting the big banners up there into the heavens of the Smith Center. And I said it yesterday. You know what? A lot of folks don't like North Carolina. That's fine. Whatever. But I tell you what, when you walk in the Smith Center and you look up to the heavens and you see those names and those championship teams and those championship banners, it's real. And it's one of the special places in the history of the game. And I told you earlier today, it's better for the sport when the blue bloods are in the hunt, right? You can give me Cinderella stories, and Baylor's a great story, and Mark Few and Gonzaga one of these days is going to win a national championship. At least I hope he does, because he's good for the sport. But North Carolina is one of those special places. And if you don't believe me, you go walk in the Smith Center and stop. It doesn't have to even be filled. It could be empty. And you just look up into the heavens, and you're going to see history and tradition and some of the greatest names that have ever played the game. And so it's in North Carolina's best interest. It's in the ACC's best interest. It's in college basketball's best interest for North Carolina to be really good. And where you went to school is nice, and it's cool that you can tie in all that together, but the object is to get back to business. And that is priority one for Hubert Davis and his staff, whether you've got a degree from the University of North Carolina or not.
I think the two things about this, number one, the implied connection to the University of North Carolina has always kind of been one of those things, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, former Carolina player as a head coach or whatever the structure, infrastructure of the basketball program is. But yesterday was the first time that the head men's basketball coach came out and was intentional about what he was going to do with the staff of that basketball program. Now, you may say to yourself, well, that's, you know, okay, that's fine. And to your point, success is ultimately what's going to be the differential, right? But you think about it. Mike Krzyzewski's already done this at Duke. That intentional nature of having former players connected to the program, you see it in a lot of programs, but it again shows you the passion and the enthusiasm and the depth of reverence that Carolina has for its program, just as Duke has for it. And it's, by the way, both are better when they're rivals with each other.
Right.
Agree with that, Pac? When 100%. Duke and Carolina are good, it's better for each school individually, let alone the two meetings in the regular season and whatever else falls in that particular year.
Excellence the drives intentional excellence. And that's no true doubt. In any exactly. walk of life. I mean, when your rival is great, it's going to force you to be great. And that's just the way – and that's what makes that series in particular so spectacular. I mean, as a fan, as a college basketball fan – now, forget ACC, forget all this stuff for a second. As a fan, I want the Shades of Blue to have a really small number beside their name when they hook up, whether they're in the Smith Center or whether they're in Cameron Indoor. It makes the sport – better. And if you're not a fan of either,
absolutely right.
I don't care. You know, the game is better when the shades of blue are the shades of blue. Not one of these. Hey, are you in the tournament? Oh, I don't know. I don't know. I'm on the front. I don't need that. I mean, that's not what we're used to around here. So, you know, and I would say one more thing before you get on sidetrack. You know, Matt Doherty had a diploma, right? Hey, when you go see the University of North Carolina, and, you know, this is my point with all this. He was part of the family, but he didn't win.
Yep.
And you could give me all the lip service you want. And again, like I said, get the pom-poms out. Awesome. If you loved that yesterday, great. But none of that really is going to matter until we roll the ball out and start keeping score. And you got to win at North Carolina. And Bubba Cunningham even kind of alluded to that yesterday, talking about all the passion, which was awesome. And at the very end, he said, oh, by the way, you need to win. And so Bubba was 1,000% right yesterday on the show when he made that comment.
I think the part for me, though, yesterday was the intentional move to say this is what this is going to be. And you and I both know it's been implied, right? It's been implied at Carolina. It's been implied for the last decade with Mike Krzyzewski, okay? I mean, he's had almost exclusively former players connected to his program as assistant coaches, ops, whatever the case may be now for, I think, the last decade. I may be just a year or two short on that. But the intentional nature to which Hubert Davis is going to go about the Carolina basketball program, I think it speaks to his passion and his enthusiasm. But the productivity will be another issue. And we would say that whether he were the new head basketball coach at Carolina or the new head basketball coach at Bug Tussle, okay? If it's in the ACC, it's great. It's a hired product. It is a competitive product. And here's the other thing, too. This league's going to be pretty good next year. We don't know how the rosters are going to shake out, but if just the core value guys come back around, which we hope, the league's going to be pretty good, just like I think it's going to be pretty good in football, too. But I was struck yesterday by the intentional nature. He said, we are going to make this a connected Carolina experience from a coaching staff and basketball staff standpoint. I thought that was fascinating to hear and the reasoning behind it. And I think that's a good thing for him. But it's a good thing today. Will it be a good thing when the schedule goes?
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
We now go down to Tiger Town, making his debut on the program. 39-year-old James Koski joins us, who is on. Still there, still rocking, still knocking people in the dirt, still knocking people 39. In the dirt. That's from, it. What's happening? You doing all right?
I'm doing great. I didn't know I was 39. I guess all right. I've been here a little longer than I thought.
All right. From the mean streets of Sharpsburg, Georgia, which, by the way, there are 500 people in Sharpsburg yet, Skalski?
A little more than that. A little more than that. It's bigger than you think.
All right. Yeah, bigger than you think. All right. We've joked about this. Last week when Roddy and I were doing the game and Emac was down there trailing Dabo, you know, end to end on the field, we really checked Emac's conditioning, by the way, I thought last Saturday, you know, in a way that he probably wasn't expecting. you were Coach Skalski this spring. What has that been like? Because you're taking the year off, but yet you're going to come back and play in the fall. But what was going through spring ball with a towel around your shoulder like?
I mean, I was in there, you know, practicing and all that. It's when it came down to live work, you know, I played a lot of football. So, man, they were just looking out for me, taking care of me. But it was really fun, actually. You know, I look to coach when my playing days are over. So, honestly, the first bit of getting my feet wet, you know, when it comes to, you know, helping my fellow linebackers and just trying to make everyone around me better.
All right, let's talk about this defense a second. This was a really young team. I mean, Clemson's had so much success, everybody just assumes, oh, man, a bunch of juniors and seniors. It really wasn't. Last year, especially up front on the defensive line, a lot of young, talented pups. Now, Coach, from what you've seen in the spring, what about the development of these dudes that are now grown into grown men on the defensive front?
Yeah, I think you got guys like Razee and Murphy, Tyler Davis, that are all so important for us. And they were young, you know, and they're just going to take their game to a next level, I think. And if they just keep working the way they are, I mean, it all starts up front in football. So, you know, they can, I think we can see the kind of production we saw with that monsters up front, and we all know who I'm talking about too.
All right, James, when you see the guys up front and you know you got a chance to, you know, play behind that crowd next year, what's can you already start to sense characteristically what this defense might be?
But I also think spring, you know, is a time to reflect off the game. We lost to Ohio State, but and to ourselves. I think we were kind of up and down a little bit, and we still have a lot of growing to do. But I can sense, you know, some characteristics taking place and some young stars really emerging and you know, putting their place in the lineup.
James, I've also seen this program have a disappointment in the college football playoff and go, guess what? It will fuel us, it will drive us, and every day the intensity level gets ratcheted up to another level. Do you get a sense after what happened against the Buckeyes in the Sugar Bowl that, you know what, it is different around these parts this year?
Hey, if you play ball at a high level and you have pride about what you do, you better be amped up about, you know, what happened to us after that game. So, I mean, I'm excited to see this team respond. I know we got a big challenge week one, and I can't wait to see what we put together.
James, let's go back for a moment and talk about the decision to come back. Was that hard, difficult? Was there something about unfinished business involved? I mean, take us through that if you can.
Yeah, I mean, I was for sure I was leaving to start the year, but you know, things happen, injuries. You know, it was a weird year with COVID and what that looked like going to the next level. And I mean, it was just another opportunity to stay in school, better myself, get healthy first off. And I just thought it was the best decision for myself at the end of the day. And I can't complain being around the kind of guys I'm around at Clemson too, between the coaches and the players. It's a blessing to be here, and I wouldn't trade it for the world.
You know, we watch you on Saturdays, and you're flying all over the place. You're going playing with your hair on fire. It looks like you're having the most fun a person's allowed to have. And you're so wound up. And between you and Venables on the sideline, it's almost a show within the show. So on game day, James, what are we listening to? Do you have to tone yourself down, if that's possible? What is that like for a guy that's as high-wired as you are, when you get a chance to put on the face paint and let's go hit somebody? What do you do in the morning?
Oh, man, you'd be surprising. I need to listen to some more, some calmer music, actually. You know, you can get riled up all day, but you gotta ball it up until it's time. And man, there's a lot more, operational things that happen throughout the game, too, where, you know, you need your head on straight. You can't just be a crazy man, so... You know, there's a time and a place to switch it on and off, and I think the good ones, you know when to do that.
So what do you do? What do you do to turn it on and turn it off? Is there a song you listen to? Is there a group of guys that you need to hang around to kind of lower the blood pressure, or vice versa? I mean, you tell me. So how do you turn it on and off?
I think when I was younger, there used to be a song, but there's no song anymore. I think the moment and the crowd and the people, it'll do it for itself. You know, as you get closer to game time, and it's that moment. It's walking out of that tunnel where you're like, you know, here we go. Now it's time to crank it up. So it's all just about timing.
Well, by the way, I've always wondered this too. The entrance to a game at Clemson is so unique, and it's just insane. For folks who, it's one thing to see it on TV, but you got to go see it in person. Touching Howard's Rock, running down the hill. When you guys are coming out of the locker room to board the bus, to go around Death Valley, to get to the top of the hill with 82,000 waiting to embrace you, is there a seat? Is there a ritual that you go through? Is there a guy I got to sit beside? Do I have to rub Dabo's head? I mean, you tell me. Or are you so dialed in that they could put you at the front of the bus on the bumper and it wouldn't matter? I mean, what's that like as a player?
Yeah, no, I usually, I go to the front bus, and I'm usually standing up, one of the first guys out. And we're all talking, you know, it's the most random things. If you've been in a football locker room, just anything, you know, it's said to challenge each other, get each other riled up. And there's also some quiet on that ride, you know, just, you can hear the crowd roaring, you can hear the stadium shaking, and there's like peace to it too when you're coming around.
Hmm.
So you never, so wait a minute. So like you never look out the window and go, hey, there's Susan Jones. She's in my econ class. Or, hey, man, look at look at those great looking co-eds. Or, hey, man, that guy's eating a chicken wing. I mean, I always wonder about linebackers because you guys are nuts. You guys are a little off center.
I'm thinking about the game plan that whole time. Man.
Okay.
I ain't worried about nobody out the window.
All right. I'm just curious. Because you know, the scenery around Death Valley, I can speak for it now, is pretty strong. I know you probably haven't experienced that part yet, but I'm just saying.
Oh, man.
All right.
So, James, we talked about wanting to get into coaching after your career is over. You have a unique tie because you've gotten a little bit of that by not playing live reps in the spring. But it's also given you a chance to kind of be the understudy of your defensive coordinator. What have you learned about Coach Venables in this spring that maybe you didn't know ahead of time?
That's a great question. I think the persona of him, he's just like almost like this robot that's like constantly, you know, chasing perfection, constantly he's trying to get perfection out of everyone. And he is, don't get me wrong. But he's human too. I mean, the guy is very self-aware, self-reflective. He knows what he's messed up and he knows what he's done wrong. And he's always looking to fix that. And he's transparent about it too with his players. And so it's cool. So you want to get on that level with him. You want to grow with him and help, you know, the team become the best defense. And it's infectious, man. It's awesome to be a part of.
All right. Now, you hinted to me and Roddy last week that you've also used this time, you and Spector in particular, to kind of jack around with Coach Venables. Have you guys been causing problems during practice sessions?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of dialogue back and forth, you know, and because we know what we're talking about, and he's always, you know, on us to be on our guys. So, but yeah, for sure, there's definitely been some yelling matches, you know, during the middle of practice.
Okay. All right. I want to also clarify here that you told us last week, and I said this to Packer, and I want to make sure we got it right, that your first college football game, Tim Beray told you that your first college football game, who was 13 years old the day you played in your first game?
Jeremiah Trotter, our newest linebacker enrollee. That is crazy to me when I first heard that.
Yeah. So the day of your first college football game, Jeremiah Trotter Jr., who's going to play some this year, was 13 years old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. My first ever snap at Auburn.
Yeah. Your thoughts on that are?
Time flies.
Well, we did
introduce. Time flies.
We introduced you as 39 years old when you count on the show, so that might be pretty accurate. Hey, by the way,
before we know it, I'll be there.
Well, you're right. By the way, I know there's a lot of Clemson fans that are dialed in. Give me some names of some of these young guys that you have seen in the spring that you said, you know what, the league hasn't seen them yet, but I have. Give me a couple names. It could be offense, defense. You go wherever you want to go.
Yeah, I think the first one that sticks out in my mind is Kobe Pace, running back. He's had a great spring. I think Ajo, everyone's excited about him because he's just such a freaky talent, just measurables, like, off the chart. And then a lot of these young O-linemen are doing well. And then defensively, I'd say Makuba is a freshman that's been playing real well. Makuba's, we had an S. It's an inside joke over here. Then, of course, Trenton, you know, is making steps, and that whole I think the class that's 2 years below me, between Kane, Keith, and Vontae, that group of linebackers, they're really making strides, playing real well. So we got a lot of good problems on that side of the ball.
A lot of good problems. Boy, I tell you what, that's a nightmare statement for every coach in this league. We got a lot of good problems on that side of the ball. That's all you need to know.
And maybe the biggest problem is they got a 24-and-a-half-year-old linebacker or something like that. I'm not even sure how old you are.
I'm 23. But,
23. Okay, 23. 23-year-old James Skalski. I tell you what, man, you are a fun guy to watch. Great to talk to. Appreciate you doing the show. Great to have you on for the first time. Packers got the most important question we're going to ask, though, yep. Skalski, in all this right. whole interview right now.
It is the traditional question to every student athlete that's appeared on this program. This is show number 358. James, what is the hardest class you've had at Clemson University?
Oh, man. I think just because they were so spread out, I did a Business Calc 1 and 2, and I had taken Business Calc 1 like a year and a half before I took Business Calc 2.
Hmm.
So I had to jump into Business Calc 2 and play catch up. You know, I basically was doing 1 and 2 at the same time.
Yeah.
But, yeah, definitely Business Calc 2 as I was I didn't time that up right with planning my classes.
Yeah, that timing thing's important in that deal. There's no question about that. Well, listen, man, it's fun watching you play. It's good having you back. And we look forward to watching you in Death Valley this fall.
No, thank you guys so much for having me on. I've been watching for a little while, and I had no idea we were plugged in like this, Ross.
Yeah.
You got to let me know.
Hey, you know what? You can come back anytime you want. Come on.
Come back anytime you want.
He just pulled up a chair.
Yeah.
Just come on. You got some time.
All right.
Sounds like a deal.
All right. Look forward to it.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
What do we need to know about Hubert Davis that we haven't seen sitting beside Roy Williams for 9 years?
Well, I think what we haven't seen out of Hubert on the varsity sideline is the fire that burns within.
I had really good options, and I'm sitting there trying to discern what is going to make the difference and how am I going to make this decision. And quite frankly, it was a conversation with Hubert, and the energy, the passion, the commitment, his own personality absolutely tipped me over the top. And he left, and I ended up calling the chancellor and said, I know who we're going to hire.
He's a competitor. He's super competitive. So, you know, there's always that drive in him to want to win. And, you know, if it comes out screaming, then you know, it's in him. He definitely has it in him. And, you know, that smile can, you know, it can fake some people. But, you know, he's definitely that super fierce competitor that screams whenever it's necessary.
He's the kind of man that is going to make sure that his players graduate, that they become solid citizens, that he can continue that Carolina tradition of not only, you know, winning basketball games, but making sure that guys get their education and go on to do good things in life after they're finished playing.
Hmm. There you go.
Good guest. They know a little bit about the family.
Good stuff yesterday.
Yes, sir.
Yep, absolutely. The comments, everything yesterday is pretty interesting about that transition piece, and more to come on that, obviously. And as Pac said, we'll see what happens in October and November when they get that thing cranked up, and we'll see how it plays out. We've talked about alums getting jobs, though, at their institutions, and we ran through a list of current folks, and there were a few here that we want to make sure we do mention because – they've done incredible jobs. And we showed you one going to break, and that's John Desko at Syracuse. Mm-hmm. You know, and Hubert Davis just becomes the latest. And you can hope that if you're Hubert Davis that you can write chapters like John Desko's written at Syracuse, Pac, right?
That's right.
I mean, and in some ways there's some nice similarities there. I mean, you're taking over a program that's got an unbelievable tradition, unbelievable legacy, and you've gone and matched it. You've won 5 national titles. You've done – all the things. I mean, you got the highest winning percentage among D1 coaches currently in lacrosse. I mean, that's kind of where you aspire to be if you're somebody like Hubert Davis right now. You've taken over a great program and you make it better.
Well, a situation like Desko is the fact that he's an alum is the icing on the cake. It can't be the cake. And that's kind of what I've been saying all day today. When we've been playing a bunch of these clips, the best of all worlds is when you have an alum that's able to go back home and say, guess what? I'm going to make the place better. And that's when it's really, really right. cool. But you got to win. And this guy right here, John Desko, look at that. 5 national championships, seemingly always in the hunt, too. That's the other thing. It's created a program that was great before he got there and has made it even better. And that's what Hubert Davis is going to try to do at North Carolina. And, again, all these – the entire list that we went through with some of the famous ACC alums going back home to lead their programs to greater, bigger, better things. Those are all cool stories, but you better win. You better win.
Yeah. Another Syracuse alum. We weren't going to let this one slip. The native of Lyons, New York, who sat on Roy Danforth's bench, was never a head coach prior to. 45 years later, he's still doing the job. Jim Boeheim.
Yep. Got to put him on this list without question. Another legend, right? And, you know, pulled the magic again this past year with that double-digit seed and said, thank you very much. Let me just roll into a Sweet 16. And, you know, now Jim, like everybody else, is going to wonder, what's my roster going to look like for next season?
Yeah.
They got a little transfer from Villanova, which is a good sign from that perspective. We know at least one guy that's going to be there. But I Wes, I kid you not, I have no idea what these rosters are going to look like in April, or June. That's why I kind of kid around about this whole transfer portal. I'm assuming they're all gone. We'll find out who wants to come back and hang out and get better and try to play for a championship.
By the way, 18 years ago today, Hakeem Warwick blocked Michael Lee in the corner.
Sure did.
Yeah.
And that led to not only a championship for Syracuse, but one of the most famous television interviews afterwards, if you remember. Now, we have spent 2 hours and 40 minutes talking about Hubert Davis's press conference today. A guy by the name of Roy Williams was a head basketball coach at Kansas and was asked on this day about the University of North Carolina, his alma mater. And you heard his comment. Yeah. And this is my point all day about this. None of that matters. None of it matters. It's nice if you can get it. But Roy Williams told you what he thought about the University of North Carolina. And you know what? Shortly thereafter, he became the head basketball coach and won not one, not two, but three natties. And, of course, panned it with that video we had today, kind of handing the torch off to Hubert. So, like I said, all the press conference stuff, whether your coach does a great job or a lousy job, it is irrelevant. It is truly irrelevant. Right. They could be spectacular and do magic tricks, or they could be as boring as Bill Belichick. The object is to win the game. So proceed with caution with all that stuff.
Five Final Fours for Roy Williams, three national titles.
Right.
Won the regular season nine times in the ACC and three tournament titles, by the way.
That's right.
Before we're done with this, we're not going to let Mike Martin get away from us because we had too many good visits with Coach Martin.
So great.
And one of the great joys of college baseball was more than 2,000 wins and 17 College World Series appearances for Mike Martin. Just a joy to talk to, and I'd love to be able to find a way to get him back on at some point in the future and check in on his golf game.
You know it. So, he was so much fun to talk
to. Just a great guy.
Yes, sir. 100% Absolutely. Right. And I know the Noles lost last night, but I tell you what, they've been playing some pretty good baseball. And they took the series from North Carolina over the weekend. They had swept Miami before. They beat up on Florida during the week. They've kind of turned it around here, even though last night was a little bit of a disappointment. But, yeah, old Coach Martin, now he was awesome. Just so much fun.
All right. Last one we'll touch on here before we get to break. Frank Beamer. I mean, you can't do this list and not talk about Frank
Beamer. That's exactly right.
Virginia Tech grad, College Football Hall of Famer. This guy's the best. Four ACC titles, twice the coach of the year, school record for wins. We said this last week. He brand named the program nationally. Just that easy. He really did. No disrespect to Jimmy Sharp, Bill Dooley, other guys that had that job. This guy did it. And, of course, an alum, you double down on that. So, it's always important to get those guys mentioned.
100% right. So. Another one of the great guys right there.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
About 25 minutes away from a COVID shot, number two, and the finale of all of that. Going to take my card, going to go out with the hounds, get us something to eat. Keeps me food in the mind there. Wes, thinking about food for thought. It's kind of where I'm going here. Maybe I'll stop by Food Lion.
That's nice.
Like that.
Well done. Time for Food Lion's Food for Thought, by the way, here on Packer and Durham. Love your timing. Unbelievable. Man of many abilities. Coming up here on ACC Network this afternoon, you got softball, Rhode Island at Boston College at 4:30. Then you got baseball, Florida International and Miami, a little crosstown deal, 7 o'clock on ACC Network. 4:30 for the softball from Chestnut Hills, 7 o'clock for the baseball from Miami. And good Lord willing, that baseball game will be done by the time we're on the air at 7 a.m. Back.
When are you going to do a baseball game? When do we get you back in the rotation out of the bullpen, do one of those five-hour baseball games?
I'm okay
games?
Right now.
Huh? You all right?
I'm okay. I think I may do a college baseball game where we start every inning with a runner on second and one strike, one ball in the count.
I'm telling you, I thought of you last night because I told you I was flipping back and forth between the ACC Network and the SEC Network. Because you had Kentucky, Louisville, and North Carolina, South Carolina. I told you that our game on our network started an hour early, and it didn't finish first. And the other game went to extra innings. Started an hour later, went extra innings. And when Anish Shroff at 10 p.m. last night went, we go to the ninth, and we're now past 4 hours of play. The first person I thought of was Wes Durham. I said, where is Wes Durham with the call?
He's got. Because why? Why did you think of me?
Because you like airtime. And there's nothing better than a good old quick 4.5 hour baseball game.
Excuse me? That's not the reason you thought of me. You thought of me because I've told you how long college baseball has gotten. And look, there's nothing better than baseball. I mean, going to the ballpark, we've talked about it. It's a great experience. But holy smokes, the games. All right. Tomorrow on this show, we meaning the two of us and the Lumberjacks.
That's it.
We pick an ACC golfer and another participant in the Masters.
Right.
For just simple bragging rights, by the way. Plus, we'll be joined by a connected guest. Yeah. We'll be joined by a connected guest, and we're excited about that. And we'll also get you more toward these spring games Saturday with NC State and Florida State, and a lot more about ACC golfers teeing it up at Augusta as well. There are plenty of ACC connections to Augusta National, including the U.S. Amateur champion, Tyler Strafasi, who
was on the show.
Puts a peg in the ground tomorrow.
And by the way, were you okay with Dustin Johnson's Tuesday night champions dinner menu? Were you okay with that?
Sure.
That seemed pretty right down the middle, didn't it? I mean, filet mignon, you got the salad choices, you got mashed potatoes, mixed greens, and a little apple pie and cobbler. I mean, it was really about as down the road as you could go.
Normal.
Right?
That's it. Yeah. I agree. On this date, 2003, Josh Macri has put together a quick cavalcade of celebratory photos of Carmelo Anthony leading Syracuse to a national championship.
To victory.
The voice of victory, Josh Macri. The Orange beat Kansas at the Louisiana Superdome, 81-78. The final, Michael Lee's three to tie the game from the corner, blocked by Hakeem Warrick. And Melo wins the natty. Boy, was he some kind of good, by the way. Sidebar to this, did you see the picture pack that was kind of making the rounds, I guess, last week prior to the Sweet 16 or so?
The Buddy Boeheim.
The young Buddy Boeheim with Carmelo Anthony. I thought that was pretty cool.
Running around the locker room. Looked like he's about two years old. Yeah,
showed us how old we've gotten fast, doesn't it?
I still remember that game like it was yesterday. It's hard to believe that was 18 years ago. But time's flying, man. You got to enjoy every one you get. And like I said yesterday, tip of the hat to everybody who won a championship, which is cool. But tip of the hat to everybody competed and figured out a way to have a tournament. But nevertheless, it's another story. But great times for Syracuse, no question.
Yep, sure was. Thanks to all of our guests today. Sam Perkins got up way too early out in Texas for us. We appreciate Big Sam joining us to talk about Hubert Davis. In case you missed it, Bubba Cunningham, sensational. Michelle Calle is the volleyball coach at Georgia Tech. Congratulations to the Jackets. They're going to the NCAA tournament for the first time in 12 years. Enjoyed our visit with Dave Doran. as well. Pack spring game is Saturday at 1 o'clock here on ACC Network. And James Skalski, who I think may be back on this show, Pack. I get the sense Skalski's not done with Packer and Durham before the for his football career is over at Clemson.
Tell him just pull up a chair. That's our catchphrase, isn't it? When smart people came up with pull up a chair, pull up a chair. Yeah. He knows where the studio is now. That's at Clemson. Right. He's good to go. By the way, I want to go back to Dustin Johnson a second. If you had won the Masters, Wes, what's the go-to dinner? What's the champion's dinner? Because the champion gets to pick. What would your go-to be at Augusta for a champion's dinner?
Golly.
And who would you sit beside? What champion would you say, hey, I got the belt. Here's what we're going to order.
Nicholas. I'm sitting with Nicholas.
You're going to sit with Jack, huh?
I'm sitting with Nicholas. Absolutely. Absolutely. I think that, in just personal opinion, I think one of the greatest competitors ever. When you think about how many times not only he won, but how many times he finished second, Mark, in golf and in majors, it's amazing. You know that. That guy of all the challenges, the Arnold Palmer stuff in the 60s and everything else, I think he brought a football mindset to playing professional golf. I really do. I mean, you've heard the clip, right? That he always thought that he always used to pay attention to like the pre-tournament or pre-major pressers and guys who would go in and talk about how, well, the course is really tough. I mean, it's fast and the rough's up and things like that. And he'd start checking names off the list. You know? That guy's intimidated. I always thought that stuff was fascinating to hear from Nicholas.
All right, so what do you order? What's the dinner? All right, now you're going to sit beside Jack, and what do you order? What's your go-to? What would be the Western champion's dinner?
I guess bacon, egg, and cheese would be out of the question, wouldn't it?
You're the champion. You do whatever you want. You want to order Pizza Hut? Go order Pizza Hut. I mean, you're the champ.
I'd be the first champion to have breakfast. I'd be the one to have an omelet station set up, Belgian waffles. You know, you're going to have breakfast. You know how we like breakfast on this show. We've always enjoyed having breakfast.
Dude, I say no. You're not going to say no to anything. So I'm just asking you the question. I mean, it's your call. No rules
here. That's a really good question.
You're going to hear it this afternoon on radio.
I'd like my I think I might have my grandmother's egg custard for dessert. She used to make the phenomenal egg custard pies. I'd have my mom's Charleston rice and my mom's broccoli salad as sides. And the entree?
Come on.
I don't know.
Come on, Wes. The show ends.
Good question. My mother-in-law's squash casserole is out of this world. She also does a baked onion that's phenomenal.
What are we, K&W cafeteria? I mean, come on. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to have a giant pig on a rotisserie, and I'm sitting with Angel Cabrera. Me and my evil twin, I'm going to get him out of prison from Brazil. And me and my evil twin are sitting side by side, and we're eating barbecue.
This is it.
Tune into Packer and Durham weekday mornings from 7 to 10 Eastern for the best conversations about everything from the ACC. Find it on the ACC Network, SiriusXM Channel 371, and streaming on the ESPN app.